What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Dropping Dimes, the show where we talk about all things basketball. I'm your host, Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod. And today, I am joined, as always, by Mr. Triple Double. Triple Double? Does that make sense? Yeah. Let's just go with it. Tay, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I appreciate the fiery intro.
Triple. I'm correcting myself. Triple. Yeah, I'll work on it. I promise. I'll nail it next time.
Triple double.
Yeah. Triple double tape. I like that as well. Nice.
I didn't have a triple double last night. It was a rough game.
No one needs to know that.
No one needs to know that. Yeah.
As far as our audience,
You had one the week before, and that's what matters.
I am leading the league in triple doubles.
Hey.
Mr. Triple Double. Triple double tape. I love that. And you heard his melodious voice over here, over there. And you know him as Leo, but I call him 3-0. Leo, how you going, man?
I'm good, man. Happy to be back as always. Let's get the show on the road.
Let's do this. We have quite a bit. I mean, it was quite a couple of days already. The NBA is the best league in the world. I don't care what anyone says. Your World Classic League or whatever, NFL trade deadline. I don't care. The NBA rules everything. We're going to talk about James Harden. We're going to talk about Wembanyama. We're going to talk about our early surprise of the season. And because you all have been asking for it, our very first Rod rant of the season, ladies and gentlemen. So let's not waste any time here. Guys, it finally happened. James Harden is no longer a part of the Philadelphia 76ers, and he got his way, and he's now part of the Clippers. Now, I think we were all about to go to bed. Shout out to Tay for breaking the news on the DD WhatsApp group. And for everyone on the East Coast, I'm sure, I don't blame you that, you know, if you missed it and looked it up until the next morning. But the trade ended up as follows. The Sixers now have Nicola Batum, Marcus Morris, Robert Covington, KJ Martin, and multiple draft picks. And the Clippers received, obviously, James Harden, PJ Tucker, and the one and only Philip Petrushev, number 33. Yeah, that guy. All right. So, what's your take, guys? I mean, it finally happened. Now, the Clippers are a big four. This team would have won it all, no questions asked, in like 2015. But it's 2023. They want to hear all your hot takes about this new and improved and the Clippers that will have the most toilet seats in the NBA next season. Let's go.
I just want to add in there too. I believe that Philip Petrushev guy, whoever that is, I think that they moved him to the Kings now.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry, could Philip. Be wrong. And also OKC somehow comes out of this with another pick or something like that. So, I mean, I think any trade that happens, we just assume that OKC is getting either a first or a second or 2 seconds or whatever. But Woj from the top rope at midnight, hey, 3 a.m. Eastern time, he was burning the midnight oil. Glad that it's finally happened. It was a little weird wondering how this season was going to go, especially with him getting held up at TSA and not getting put on the no fly list in Philadelphia and not being allowed on the team plane. And then the NBA, they were investigating it to try and see if there was some sort of, foul play going on and if they were going to get fined, and all of a sudden everything unravels. And I guess they probably held him back because the deal was close. Philly not getting a whole lot here. Nicola Batum in his last season, I think he's been pretty forward with saying that he's going to retire and go back to France. Definitely don't blame him. Blazers legend. And then we got Robert Covington, also Blazers legend, returning to Philadelphia. I think he was part of the original process. So interesting little wrinkle there. KJ Martin, I think he was waived by Houston, if I remember correctly. So they're not getting a whole lot aside from a couple future picks. Clippers future picks look nice. Especially when if I remember right, and I could be wrong, you guys can correct me, but I think they're big four now, if you want to call it a big four, all expiring contracts and all free agents next year. So something to think about too for the Clippers. It seems like they're going a little bit all in, win now, as if I guess they haven't already been doing that over the last couple of years. I still am not sold on this Clippers team. It's still a wait and see.
I was just waiting for that. Thank you. We could end the show and I would be happy.
It's honestly, like, you know, 4 years ago, amazing. This team would be crushing it. This would be a like super team plus one. But these guys are all in the twilights of their career. Let's see if they can stay healthy. They lose one of them. I mean, it's going to be Bones Highland's team. So it's going to be a wait and see. You know, last night I didn't catch the Lakers game. They came back. PG is PG, but we're adding, you know, another ball dominant guard into this lineup, into this team, and probably the most ball dominant guard. You know, I know he led the league in assists last year and whatnot, but I don't know. Yeah. I have a lot of things I want to say about this Clippers team, but I kind of want to be nice as well.
There was also a tweet, and please excuse me, I don't remember, but this is official information that James Harden was only second in possessions with the ball, just behind Luka Doncic. So when you talk about a player that needs the ball in his hands, I mean, the stats don't lie. That's James Harden. And
yeah,
the four of them, I mean, I don't know how these four are going to gel together. Obviously, they'll find a way. You know, the Clippers are playing at the, you know, they're looking at the playoffs already, right? The regular season for them, how they get through it, who plays during the season, I don't think they care that much in that combination. They're just hoping that a combination or a subsection of this big four, I don't know what the Fantastic Four for the Clippers, will take them all the way.
Yeah. Two things come to mind for me personally. I feel like, you know, to echo Chase's point that Philadelphia didn't really get much back is actually a blessing in disguise, because Maxey is looking like the all-star that we all thought he was going to be this year. And him being behind Harden was always going to be hard for him. And he's been the ultimate, you know, professional, and he's stepped in and played his game every year, has, you know, increased his, you know, everything throughout every season that he's played. And I think we're really going to see a breakout year from Tyrese Maxey. I think Tobias Harris is also going to benefit from it. I know he's the man that's always forgotten on this team, but he is steadily still a Chris Middleton type that you're still going to get really good production from him. On the other side of things, I think this is going to be detrimental for Russell Westbrook. You know, he's got this good energy going. You see him dancing, you know, at practice with Kawhi before the season starts. And he's bringing the good times back. But with Harden being the ball dominant guard that he is going onto this team, I just don't see them meshing, as well as them being on the OKC team before. And now the questions of like, well, who's going to start and who's going to come off the bench? Are we going to see a role reversal where now Westbrook is going to come off the bench? It's just not a good look for the Clippers. But I will say, Kawhi is looking really, really good. You know, knock on wood that he does not get injured this year, but he's looking like the Kawhi of 2019. So it's a little bit too early to tell, but we'll see.
They both look really good. My assumption would be that they bring Westbrook off the bench and they put Terrence Mann in the starting lineup, and they have Westbrook kind of do what he does and push the ball hard and with that second unit. I think the biggest winner, I think you're right, the biggest winner of this trade is Tyrese Maxey. I think the runway is cleared. I know we were having, and we should probably do this in a future episode, but we had our conversation the other day about all-stars in each conference, especially going back to the conference split for all-stars. But if Maxey wants to make a bid, now is the time. He's looking good. He could certainly push for a most improved player of the year. I don't know if that's even one that we had mentioned in our too early to pick awards last episode, but
yeah,
another wrinkle of this too is that PJ Tucker, it seems like PJ Tucker and James Harden are just a package deal at this point. He's a nice get, you know, kind of fills the hole that, you know, Rocco and Batum will be leaving, but you know, the Clippers aren't losing a whole lot here, but they are getting a very, very, very ball dominant guard here. And I pulled up the salary sheet. Both Paul George and Kawhi have $48 million player options next year. James Harden is a free agent, and Westbrook is in his last year of his contract next season. So, I mean, we're staring down the barrel of not being able to re-sign these guys and not having any future picks, not having any young talent, and moving into a brand new arena that Steve Ballmer's been building with whatever, however many thousands of bathrooms are in there, whatever that.
Most toilets in the NBA, because this team is, I'll bleep myself, this team is shit. That's why they need so many toilets.
Tay, give me your honest thought. How far are these Clippers going this year? It's just gut feeling. Let me know.
Gut feeling is a second round exit. Second round exit. But I could see them getting matched up against a young OKC team and them getting a couple injuries. Maybe Kawhi misses a game and PG misses a game and Harden, you know, has his playoff performance that he's had the last couple of years, and OKC squeaks out and pushes them to seven and they get tired and either they lose in the game seven or they make it to the second round and they get obliterated by, you know, the Suns or the Nuggets or whoever. Right. So
yeah.
I'm not hopeful on this team. I don't know what they need to do in order to, I think they need to stay healthy in order for me to be hopeful about them, but it's, you know, we haven't seen them be healthy. There's all these stats that they like to show about, oh, well, the record is, you know, 750 when Kawhi and Peachy are on the floor, but it's like, that's been like 50 games over the course of four seasons. Like, are they ever going to be healthy together? Are they going to be healthy in the playoffs? Probably not. Would I put money on it? Absolutely not. So I don't have any hope. You know, it'd be great to see them healthy because they'd be a fun team to watch, but
yeah, fair. I same sentiments. I feel like a second round exit for these boys. What about you, Rod?
I'm going to leverage your future on a second round exit.
100% with you. You know, second round exit feels, you know, on par with everything that we've seen with the Clippers so far. I wouldn't be surprised if they make it to the conference finals, but I don't see them going all the way. Even if they somehow make it to the finals, you know, injuries are not going to be on their underside. I don't think that this team is going to have enough time to actually figure it out between inevitable injuries, between the rest that, you know, all of their stars are going to get, and just, you know, can the four of them be on the floor at the same time? I mean, it feels like you have one too many of the same player. They all need the ball in their hand. So I don't know. This is honest. This is objective, Rod. I don't see this team winning, period.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think the ceiling is probably conference finals. If everything breaks right, everyone's healthy. You know, with that talent, it's hard to count them out and say, like, sure, things could break right and they could find themselves in the finals if they're all healthy and everything's perfect. But we haven't seen any of that in the last couple of years. And,
yeah,
you know, they've only gotten older since then. So
I would pay to see the Battle of LA, you know, in the Western Conference semis. And I think I would get the Lakers coming out of that, you know. I really think the Lakers would be coming out of that strong. I know Rod's got
it's been established that the Clippers pay rent at Crypto.com Arena. They are our tenants and they're getting evicted to a place that has more washrooms to accommodate for all the bullshit that they've done throughout these decades.
All right.
You want to cover our banners with selfies? Go ahead. Find your own arena. You know what? I've said it many, many, many times. I sound like a broken record. We should just do the run right now. The Clippers, they should just move to San Diego. Better vibes, their own city. They can build up their own fan base. Why? I don't understand the obsession of sticking to LA. You know, there's enough place for everyone in California. Just move it to San Diego. It makes a lot more sense. Just go, period. Get out of my arena. And don't forget
this
to turn
the
lights off.
This is not Rod's rant, by the way. This is just
no, it's a prelude. But, it's a prelude to Rod's rant.
That's my cue to move on to the next topic, fellas. We have to once again talk about Victor Wembanyama in the context of the latest Suns versus Spurs game. What a mess, dare I say? The last 3 minutes were... I don't have a word for it, guys. You know, I try to always give kudos to the team that comes back and, you know, not to undermine the efforts of the Spurs. But when this was a good example of like, okay, this is, you know, a team's game to lose, where the Suns just, I thought, made so many mistakes in the fourth quarter that they allowed for that comeback from the Spurs. And just Wemby being Wemby, and that last possession where I can't remember who stripped Durant from the ball.
Kevin
and
Johnson.
Then, thank you. It was just crazy. But guys, Wemby just being an absolute alien right now and doing it all. That putback dunk in the dying seconds of the game where it looked effortless. And even if you boxed him out, I don't think anyone stood a chance, honestly.
No, I I'm shocked, honestly. Like I came into the preseason with a lot of hype, and we watched him play, and we were watching him grow up, as you know, right before our eyes. But you know, I'm watching this game, and he takes possessions off. You know, he's still young. He's trying to figure things out on the fly. He's trying to get adjusted to being in the U.S. and all these things. But it's been pretty consistent now that in the fourth, he just turns it up to a new gear, and he just kind of just. There's spots, right? Like he's hot and cold offensively, but he's always a defensive presence. But when he does turn hot, it's like nobody can figure him out. You see Kevin Durant, we're talking about that putback dunk. Kevin Durant was right there. Kevin Durant didn't box him out. He just kind of stood there, was waiting, and was shocked to see him do that putback. And he's clutch, guys. He hit that, like, you know, elbow midi to tie up the game. It, like, we're talking about a 19-year-old that's an alien. It's unbelievable, honestly.
Yeah, it was quite a game. You know, it got pretty ugly at times. And you know, amazing finish.
Yeah,
I know Wemby hit a mid-range jumper, and then he threw a little pocket pass, and then he had the putback dunk, and he was kind of all over it. And to Leo's point, I saw some stats come out. I wish I had them up in front of me right now, but you know, big bump in field goal efficiency and effective field goal.
80% in the fourth.
In the fourth, yeah, and I think he's 35% or somewhere in there in the first three quarters. So, I you know, this is something that really separates superstars from the rest of stars, is having another gear and knowing how to access it, being able to dial in and bring your team with you. And at 19 years old, seeing him do this, and you know, it's a small sample size. We're 5-6 games into the season. Suns are missing all their guys, but the Suns were up by 20 at the start of the third quarter. 11 minutes and 46 seconds left in the third quarter. They were up 20, and the Spurs led for 2 seconds, and the last 2 seconds of the game. You know, sure, KD probably got fouled when Keldon Johnson ripped the ball. You know, and I have to add, Keldon Johnson ripping the ball from KD right in front of KD's mom was absolutely hilarious. But sure, he got fouled, but there's no excuse for giving up a 20 point lead to one of the youngest teams in the league, right? Yeah. That's inexcusable. And I think that this really accentuates the issues that I've had with the Phoenix Suns, this current Phoenix Suns. It's very similar to the issues we were just talking about with the Clippers. But what happens when we lose one or two of these guys? You don't have a lot of depth. Right, all of a sudden we're relying on Grayson Allen, and we're relying on Drew Eubanks. Let me tell you, as a fucking Blazers fan, how brutal it is to rely on Drew Eubanks. But they're missing two of their guys. Sure, KD is out there, and we're playing ISO ball. It's ISO, and everyone's staring, and there's no creation, and there's no movement. We got Yusuf Nurkic shooting threes, for God's sake. You know, like, we're early into the season, and this team has some time. But man, if you go into the playoffs and you lose Devin Booker for 2-3 games, God forbid a whole series, you're really relying on KD. And then we go back to when KD was on the Nets, and he's playing the full 48 minutes in the playoffs, and he's dead tired, right? Like, we can't keep putting these miles on KD. We can't put it all on his back. There's gotta be some depth there. And I think this game, you know, I will say, we're recording this on Thursday. It's 5 o'clock. They're going to play again today. I think they had a home and home. So it'll be really interesting to see how the Suns respond. I think everyone should expect a 20 plus point Suns win to come out and make a statement and say, hey, yeah, we fucked up, but we're going to make it right. We're going to play better.
Yeah.
But you know, for as much positive things as I can say about Wemby, I think this really was on the Suns more so than the Spurs came in and took it. Sure, you know, in the final seconds, the final couple of minutes, the Spurs wanted it more for sure. But the Suns just didn't have it. They didn't have the gas. They don't have the depth. They didn't have their stars. And when your team is so star heavy, and you've leveraged your depth to get there, this is the repercussions. And we're going to take this into the playoffs with the same depth and hope that it works out, and hope that everyone stays healthy for, you know, however many games. It's just, you know, it's just icky. It's icky. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know we're not all here like huge fans of the Suns, but it feels like they need to learn how to win together. That's all.
Mm-hmm. And not rely on their stars so much. They need some extra creation. It was just wasn't fun watching the Suns try and operate in the second half, because it was all KD. Sure, KD is really fun to watch, but watching this poor guy just go ISO after ISO after ISO. Now, I want to say some positive things about the game, because the game was freaking amazing. It was so much fun to watch. I almost turned it off because it was a 20 point and I was going to switch. I was kind of couch surfing with or league pass surfing, but the Wemby versus KD, the Slim Reaper versus Slenderman contest on Halloween night was so much fun. I don't know if that was on purpose by the league, but there was a couple possessions where they got to guard each other. There was that one, I don't remember when in the game it was, but it was obviously an ISO that KD was running with Wemby guarding him, and KD took him off the right side and hit a baseline, kind of where Kawhi hit that game winner for the Raptors. He hit a baseline fader over Wemby. Yeah. And oh my God, it's just kind of one of those welcome to the NBA moments, but it completely got spoiled by blowing the game. So
yeah,
what a fun game to watch. 100%. I'd be very, very upset and concerned if I'm a Suns fan, but if I'm a Spurs fan, if I'm a Wemby fan, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it, because there's not going to be a lot of wins for the Spurs this season. Unfortunately, there's just not, and there's going to be growing pains. But when we get these types of games from Wemby, and you can see the future for him, and you can start to understand why everyone is so high on him, and you start to break down some of those stats about how good of a performer he is in the fourth, and then he's coached by Pop, and he's in the Spurs system. Oh, I'm just so excited about this kid, man. I find myself turning on the Spurs every time they're playing, every single time. It's just, he's so fun to watch.
He's definitely box office for sure. But what's most impressive about Wemby for me is not obviously his natural gifted talents. It's his mentality. You know, he's very coachable. He's obviously studying the game while he's playing the game. And that, you know, for me accounts for like the slow starts. And then he like picks and chooses his spots when he needs to in the fourth to turn it up so that he can impact winning. And that's like really rare for somebody that's 19. And there's many superstars in the league that still can't do that. So mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about Wemby for a long time, boys.
21 seasons, you think?
Oof, I don't know about that. But
let's see how that frame holds up against the NBA. And then we can talk about, you know, double digit seasons.
In the words of Nikola Jokic, he needs to get fatter.
Yeah, 100%. No. You know, when the Joker speaks, he's usually right.
True.
All right, folks. Well, let's move on to our next agenda item here, and that is our early surprises of the season. So last week, we gave a bit of a tease, and I know that, you know, we have, after the first week of games, we sort of revised that. So let's go quickly here. Leo, who's your early surprise of the season?
Short and simple, Cam Thompson from the Brooklyn Nets, flame thrower. You know, he's making KD rethink, you know, going to the Phoenix Suns. Is he better than Devin Booker? I don't know yet. We'll see. We'll find out. But he is my early surprise of the season. Wow, what a joy to watch, especially on that team where nobody's really tuning into the Brooklyn Nets this year. So, shout out to him.
Fantasy legend Cam Thomas.
Absolutely.
Waiver wire hero of the year. I mean, he's been really fun to watch. He's had a couple of rough possessions. I think they drew up a play for the game winner for him a couple nights ago, and he just didn't know what to do with it. But his scoring is undeniable. And, you have to wonder, too. He had those three stars with him for two seasons, season and a half, however long that thing lasted in Brooklyn. And, you have to wonder, he must have picked something up. But let's hope and let's see if he can consistently produce. He's obviously not expecting him to be a consistent 30 point per game scorer, but if he can consistently be a 20 to 22 point per game scorer, that changes a lot of things for Brooklyn and for their timeline and for their build and their core there. So definitely a big surprise.
Mm-hmm. At this rate, I think Cam Thomas will be the first Net with his jersey retired.
Hey, not Paul Pierce.
Now there's a bold prediction.
What's your early surprise of this season?
Early surprise of the season has to go to the other Slenderman in the league, Chet Holmgren. You know, I have to admit, I wasn't the highest on Chet coming into the season. I didn't think that frame was going to hold up. I wasn't sure if he had enough in him, or if he was going to get enough looks, if he was going to get enough minutes. But I did pull his stats, and granted, very, very small sample size. We're only five games, or OKC's only five games into the season, but 16 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 3 blocks. But what's most impressive to me had been what's the biggest surprise is his efficiency. 60% from the floor, 52% from 3, and 80% from the free throw line. You know, that's rare air that he's in, and five games is a small sample size, but OKC also isn't this juggernaut that we should be expecting these kinds of crazy stats to come from. He's fit really, really well next to Shea. He's shooting the ball really well. He's spacing the floor, and that's opened things up a lot for Shea as well. Seeing him be able to operate in the paint a little bit easier. There's obviously some growing pains. They're not 100% comfortable with each other. They don't know how to play off of each other. And the team is still very much learning. You know, Jalen Williams is still in his second year, but you're starting to see things come together for OKC. They're only 3-2. It's not the most impressive start, but we're used to seeing this team be below 500. So seeing them above 500 with some another exciting young piece, mm-hmm. and then a trillion picks in their cabinet to be able to make whatever move whenever they're ready to make that move. Yeah, I keep going on about how excited I am about this team, about Shea, but you know, Chet Holmgren, big surprise, my biggest surprise of the year.
Is he your favorite for rookie of the year?
Too early. I think that the hype behind Wemby right now is so strong that it'll influence a lot of the votes when it comes down to it. But I think he's had better consistent production and contributed more to winning than Wemby has so far. You know, that obviously that's a different team. A lot of that depends on the team that he's on. I think they're there. I think the race is on. Let's say that.
Yeah.
It's definitely been fun to, you know, that OKC team is must watch right now. It's so fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's the favorite.
Okay.
He's not. I don't think he's a favorite. I don't think he's a favorite for sure.
Yeah. Well, Wemby's who do you guys think is the better player right now, Chet or Wemby?
I think Wemby's a better player. He's got a more versatile game. He's got a little bit of a deeper bag. He sees the floor differently. I think Chet kind of he's like on the Jaren Jackson Jr. type of player, which is a great player, defensive player of the year level player, right? But I think that he's tracking more along that, whereas Wemby is more along the, I don't want to compare him to KD, but he has that potential in him with, you know, his ball handling and the way that he sees the floor and the way that he commands the offense, whereas Chet is more of a, like, he fits really well next to Shea, but he's not going to be that first option.
He's an American player, American bred.
Yeah.
Well, still, you know, that battle between the two Slendermen is going to be really fun to watch throughout the season.
Oh, yeah.
And throughout their careers, to be honest.
Absolutely.
Can I do an honorable mention for my most surprising of the year? And this is purely selfish because he's killing me in fantasy right now. LaMelo Ball's field goal percentage. That's the surprise of the season so far for me. We're at a 30% from the floor, averaging 4 makes on 15 shots.
Oh, Melo.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on in Charlotte, man. I think they
a lot
poison the water supply or something like that. But he's killing me. He's killing me in fantasy, guys.
Oh, sorry, Lord. Rod, what's your surprise of the year so far?
All right. So this is surprising because I didn't think that this was going to be this bad, but my early surprise of this season are the Memphis Grizzlies.
No.
Exactly. You both gave me the response that I think the entire NBA fandom that we've had collectively, right? Like, this team cannot catch a break. I mean, we knew before this season started that Jammer was going to be out for a number of games, and then they lost Steven Adams. Arguably, I dare to say, you know, the most cool, calm, collected person in that locker room, and you know, the one that sort of could keep them on check. Brandon Clark is out. They are the only winningless team in the NBA with 0-5. And I just, you know, this is a team that in 2 years ago they won 56 games. Last season, 51 games. And now I'm starting to wonder, you know, I don't think they'll miss the playoffs entirely, but right now I have them as a play-in team. I don't know if Ja Morant will be able to come back and, you know, save their season and go back into the 50 column win. It's been really bad for them. Nothing is going right. They obviously lost Dylan Brooks, which, you know, I know last season I was trolling him, especially when he went against the Lakers, but, you know, he was an important piece of that entire puzzle. And I just don't think that, similar to what I was saying with the Clippers on a different vein, though, you know, they're not going to have enough time to pull it together. Yes, they'll be in the playoffs, but right now I see them as a playing team. You know, those comments that Ja Morant, and, you know, I still respect his swag and, you know, the self-confidence. But when he said, "I'm good in the West," you know, so many people have that clip bookmarked on Twitter, and it's going to haunt him for still a couple of years in his career. So, shout out to all the Memphis Grizzlies fans, because you guys, I think it's only going to get worse before it gets better, to be honest.
I think they missed the playoffs entirely this year. I know it's really, really early season, like, prediction, but they don't have it this year. And you're right. Steven Adams is kind of that locker room presence that you need to make sure that everybody has their head on straight. Derrick Rose is not the answer for that. You know, he's always been the silent, quiet type leader, and this young Memphis Grizzlies team needs more than that. And I just don't see them making it in the West, especially because, you know, we're talking about OKC coming up. You know, I have them personally not even in the play, and they're going to go straight into the playoffs. So that's a spot that's taken.
Amen.
Everybody's gotten a little bit better. It's tough out in the West. He's not fine in the West. It's tough out there.
Sorry, I just want to make sure that you said, I heard you right. You said Thunder are going to skip the play-in and be a just straight into the playoffs, right?
Oh, yeah, baby. You heard it first.
Hell yeah, bro.
That is happening.
Yeah, hell baby.
Yeah, baby. They might
be a top four seed. I don't know.
I think that's their ceiling. I think their ceiling is top four in the West. I think they have that potential. And then you got the pit cupboard there looking so tasty. All right, we're talking about the Grizzlies. I would much rather talk about the Thunder talk about Shea right now. You know, while you guys were giving your piece, I was really, really trying to play devil's advocate and find something positive to talk about the Grizzlies here. I was searching through the advanced stats. So I was like, there's got to be something in here. Maybe their defense is looking really good. No, their defense is dead last in the league. Their offense is in the bottom 10. You know, aside from counting stats, they have, you know, they're third in the league in blocks and they're third in league in steals or something like that. So, I mean, great. But they're giving up 118 points per game, which is just out of control. They've had several winnable games. Like, the Wizards game should have been a win. If you're not beating the Wizards, I think tomorrow's going to be really telling. They play the Blazers. They play my Blazers. And let me be the first one to tell you, the Blazers should not be beating anybody right now. They beat the Raptors. I would love to talk about that with a Raptors fan a little bit in depth. But Shaedon Sharpe has looked really good. It's a young core. They're really excited. They want to win. They're really competitive. It's going to be I can't believe I'm saying it's going to be a good test for the Grizzlies. But that's a must win. You are 0-5 right now. You are the only team in the league without a win. You have two defensive players of the year on your roster. Are we not going to win until December 19th when Ja comes back? Like, what is the game plan here? It's very, very, very concerning. You know, you lose by 7 to the Wizards. You lose by 7 to the Pelicans. All right, that's fine. But it's trending the wrong way. You lost by 7 to the Wizards. You lost by 15 to the Mavericks. You lost by 24 to the Jazz. God, they're going to lose by 40 to the Blazers tomorrow. Like, I really want to find. I like the Grizzlies, man. I like Jaren Jackson Jr. I like Ja Morant. I love Desmond Bane. You know, to play devil's advocate a little bit, there's a couple new pieces on that team. You know, maybe they need some time to mesh.
I mean, this is a team that is, you know, they had Luke Kennard shooting 1 from 14, and that's not going to happen. You know, he's a shooter, but, you know, that's how bad it is. You're depending on Luke Kennard to save your team. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Don't look like they're having fun out there too.
My biggest concern has been the defense. You got Marcus Smart. You got Jaren Jackson Jr. You got Defensive Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year.
Ah, man. Like, he went from contender to now this.
Whatever this is, right?
Yeah, I mean,
obviously losing Ja is a big problem, but if we look historically, last season when Ja was out, they performed better.
Yeah.
And people were saying, wow, this team is better without Ja. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy how scrappy and good this young team is. They could be better without Ja. He can go out and they don't lose chemistry. This team's got good What happened?
Dylan what is Brooks, going baby. On? That's what happened. Dylan Brooks. Captain Canada, where everybody's shitting on him, but
they did have a 5-game losing streak without Ja after the suspension. But this was, you know, before that, they were racing Denver for the number one spot in the West. And now they're dead last with, you know, and those 5 games, you know, these are the kind of games that, you know, you start to build up your confidence for the season, et cetera. So we've talked about this, you know, there might be some things to save on the stat side, but I think the overall morale is that, you know, this is where you start to, you know, say like, okay, we did this thing right, but we can improve here. And yes, we dropped that game, but hey, at least we were on it. Right now, this 0-5 is not looking good. I agree 100% with you, Taylor. You know, this is a good test against Portland. You know, this is a team that should be winnable. This is a game that, you know, they should be like, all right, let's rally. Because then after that, they got Miami, they got Utah again, then they get the Clippers, the Lakers, and maybe a bit of a break with the Spurs. So it's not far-fetched that they might not win until Ja Morant gets back, honestly.
Wow. Honestly, it's not. Like, as goofy as it sounds, it might not be a joke. Like, I think that this game against the Blazers will be very, very telling, right? Yeah. Like, even if you win, like, you gotta make a statement. You gotta build some morale. Like, they're only favored by 1.5 points against the youngest team in the league. The team being led by a 19-year-old point guard and a 20-year-old shooting guard. Like, this should be
wild.
But, you know, you should have blown the Wizards out of the water. Why are you losing to the Wizards? You're not fine in the West. No. You're in trouble in the West. You would be in trouble in the East, apparently. You can't even beat the damn Wizards. I'm upset. I like this team. I like this team. Triple J, he's a good player. He's a really good player, but he's
now that I think about it, I am also upset. I'm so big on JJJ, and like I had him picked as the defensive player of the year this year, and I don't know if I'm seeing that from him this year.
We're
5 games in, and this might be an overreaction, but dang, boys,
this is the Grizzlies have gone full circle, boys. You know, lovable underdogs, then hateable, cocky young team. And now, like, full-blown, like, I am so sorry for you. You know, what can we do to make it better? Like, you know, do you need a couple bucks for a slice of pizza? Is there anything that we can do for you? As a collective NBA team, you know, do you need a place to stay, brother? Like, I don't know. Is there something we can do for Grizzlies fans?
Vancouver is still nice, guys. Vancouver is still nice.
We're in spirit with you guys. Because at this rate, you know, look what happened to us for losing games. So you don't want to
know things. Yeah, you don't want to find out the hard way that winning is all that matters.
I'm going to flip again, but don't fuck around and find out. Look what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, you might find yourself in a different country. You know, they're going to have 57 games left when Ja comes back. Realistically, I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs, but I think they're very close to being – or they're in a lot of danger of being a play-in team and on the wrong side of that play-in bracket as well, needing to win 2 games. You know, obviously it's hard to say when they're 0-5, they haven't won a game. But with Ja, that's probably not a team you're going to want to see in the play-in. But you're also not going to want to go into the playoffs as a 7 or 8 seed. So,
all right. Who are the top 8 seeds right now? We got Mavs, Warriors, Nuggets, Pelicans, Lakers, Thunder, Clippers, Spurs. Okay,
the Spurs, no, come on.
Yeah,
no,
but the Kings, no. The Kings are there. I think the everybody that I've said, Kings, aside from the Spurs, you know, are a play-in playoff team, right? We have the Kings. We still have the Suns. Jazz, I don't know. I don't know if the Grizzlies are making it this year, boys. I'm looking at
this. Let's take it the other way. Who are they going to be better than? They should be better than the Rockets. They should be better than the Blazers. They should be better than the Spurs.
Yeah.
Who else?
The Timberwolves are looking nice.
Timberwolves look fine. They look fine. And you know what? They can move Cat and they could bring someone in.
Yeah.
Like, who knows? Like, open up the space. Like, there's a lot. There's still things that the Timberwolves could do. I'm not ultra high on them, but they're not going to miss the play-in at least.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Grizzlies are going to be in the play-in, but I don't even know, man. The Suns are 11th right now. Kings are 10th. Like, there's not that many spots. There's only 8 spots, boys. Like,
and you just lost to the Jazz by 20 plus.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it is, you know, let's not sound the you know, all the alarms, but some alarms, I think, you know, should start going off in Memphis and say,
like, I'm freaking out, Rod. I'm freaking out.
Everybody calm down. Calm down. It's a long season. But I mean, it is Day of the Dead today. Shout out to Mexico and everyone else that celebrates. I don't want to have to put out a candle for the Grizzlies. Let's just put it that way.
Ooh, yeah, I don't right either, now, but it's looking not good.
Right now, I would start printing their photo to put up in my altar.
Whew. Shout out to my boy John Collins playing it for the Utah Jazz this year. Finally, he's out of there.
Finally got freed.
Nice.
He finally got nice. Freed. He is looking nice. The Jazz look fine. I really like Laurie. Like, Laurie's a star. That's a good team. That's a team that I would be concerned about if I'm the Grizzlies. Because honestly, we're talking about this, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, who are they going to be better than? If you can't, 52, they have 50 whatever games left when Ja comes back, 57 or something. They can do it. They can do it. They can figure it out. They can turn it around. They got a good coach. They have a good core. Their
ceiling, right? 50 something wins. So, yeah.
Are you going to go on a 50 plus game win streak when Ja comes back? Probably not, right?
Something tells me that might not be how it goes.
I was very positive on this team coming into the season. Now we're 0-5.
We all were. Yeah. It's crazy. The NBA, the best league in the world.
The best soap opera for men.
100%. 100%.
Well, let's see if they can get that win over the Blazers, because that's a must win. That's it's crazy in early November to have a must win game. That's a must win game.
Well, when you're an 0-5 as an NBA team,
when you're the only winless team and you're trying to seriously contend and say that you're fine in the West, that you're gonna have must win games in November. Uh-oh.
Ja Morant is gonna, that clip is gonna haunt him forever. All right.
There's a couple other clips that'll probably haunt him for a long time too.
Well, yeah, true. Maybe that one will be the least of his worries in a couple of years. All right, folks.
What kind of clips are we talking here?
That's not on this podcast, man. I think insert the name of your favorite true crime here. I'm joking.
Insert the name of your favorite firearms maker here.
Cam Thomas.
Cam Thomas is not a firearm. He's a flamethrower.
Oh, true. My bad.
Elon Musk, flamethrower. How about that? All right. Give me a Rod rant right now. All right. I'm heated. Ready, I need to hear it.
Well, today's rant, you know, I thought I was going to keep it nice, but no, I'm pissed. And, you know, I'm not super pissed. I am royally pissed at the one and only Anthony Marshawn Davis Jr. Okay? Let me grab my mic. I'll try to be as objective as I can, right? The man is not playing horrible. He is putting up some good stats. He's a solid player. But he's not a leader. Anthony Davis is not a leader. The leader of the Lakers is no other than LeBron James at 37, 38 years old. And that, my friends, dear family, dear podcast listeners, cannot happen. LeBron himself said it so. He said it before this season. This is Anthony Davis's team. He hasn't showed up as a leader. He's, you know, just yesterday, that game against the Clippers. Yes, epic comeback from a 19-point deficit. Everyone pitched in. Obviously, AD was a big part of it. But then we go into overtime. Who had to take over? No other than LeBron James. LeBron James was honestly the reason why we came back. Anthony Davis is there along for the ride. And I've already said this. Anthony Davis is picking up on the wrong traits from LeBron. LeBron is taking games off because my man is established. He knows his place in history is beyond guaranteed. You know, he's in conversations about being the greatest player of all times. But Anthony Davis thinks he's sitting at the same table as LeBron James. And he's not. He thinks he's established. You're not. I don't know who in the right mind took out my man, other Laker, Pau Gasol, and included Anthony Davis in the list of top 75 players in all of NBA history. That is just plain wrong. That was wrong on so many levels. And everything that I'm seeing from AD, honestly, I want to sign him up for a Tony Robbins seminar. I have LinkedIn Learning ready. There's a course on how to be an effective leader. Anthony Davis needs to take one of these. I need to see something, and I'm serious. You know, I'm incredibly biased against the Lakers, but I haven't pulled the trigger on an Anthony Davis jersey because he has not convinced me. I would rather buy a D'Angelo Russell jersey. I would rather buy a Rui Hachimura jersey. I would rather buy, at this point, honestly, a Christian Wood jersey. I've seen more fire from Christian Wood in five games than I've seen from Anthony Davis.
Wow. Listen
and,
up, AD.
And you all know how I feel about Christian Wood right now. Oof. But this is an open letter, a voice note, I guess, to Anthony Davis to either put on his business suit and become a leader or to get the fuck out of my team. I'm tired. Because let's be real. This is the last year that LeBron is going to be a Laker. Wherever LeBron is going, that's where LeBron is going. And I don't blame him. He gave us a championship. I'm all in for retiring his jersey, give him a statue, whatever. If you leave me right now with Anthony Davis as our leader, I'm sad. Sad Rod. No one likes Sad Rod. The same way that no one likes Angry Rod. So Anthony Davis, it's time to take control. You know, chair that meeting. Show us that you're the leader of the Los Angeles Lakers. This is a franchise built on the shoulders of big men. So put on your big boy pants and show me that you can be the leader of the LA Lakers. Ooh. End of rant. Sorry.
Dropping dimes coming in spicy this year, boys. Oh. Wow.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but Rod's rant just injured AD.
Wow.
Oh, like my man's going to be out for three games just for that.
Yeah. Day to day, Rod's rant.
I mean, do you guys disagree with me?
No, not at all. Honestly, I think you were spot on. And I think you're the obvious resident Laker fan here. But, you know, you said in there, LeBron was like, this is AD's team. It's time for AD to take over. He's been saying that for years. He's been saying that since the bubble, you know, and we haven't seen it. We haven't seen that dog from AD, and we've never really seen that dog from AD aside from that championship run. You know, it's kind of concerning. You almost wonder, like, did he get that championship? And he's like, I got it.
It feels like that, honestly.
That's kind of what it feels like, especially, and you know, you know, I can only imagine your frustration, at least as a Laker fan, to watch this guy some games be the best player on the floor and other games be completely invisible. You know, I think you're right. Like, it's time for him, obviously, to take over. LeBron's been begging him to take over. LeBron is an old geriatric player at this point, right? Like, he doesn't perform like it.
Points, though. Wow.
Yeah, let me say, he doesn't perform like he's an old geriatric player, but the grays and that beard don't lie. Let me say that. So it's time for him to take over. And I really, really have to wonder, you know, if LeBron moves on and he goes to play with Bronny, which I think everyone kind of expects him to do in the twilight of his career, to go and finish playing with his son. I think we all want to see that too. But I really wonder if the Lakers take the stance of, let's blow it up. You know, let's see what we can get for AD. I don't think AD can be the first option on a championship team. Let's see what we can get for all these parts. And you know what? Let's build around Austin Reeves.
Life post LeBron is not going to be fun, guys. Let me tell you.
Am I surprised at AD not being a dog? No. You know, like, season opener against the Denver Nuggets, a team that you just got swept by, may I remind everybody here? And my boy AD just has 0 points in the second half. Zero. Season opener.
Disappeared.
This is your dog.
Yeah.
You know, this is your franchise piece, Rod. Sorry.
That's the frustrating part, right? Like, you know, look at his stats. They're solid. If you have him on your fantasy team, he's not a bad piece to have. But it's inconsistent. It's, you know, it's not that you don't know which AD you're going to get night in, night out, right?
Yeah.
And what pisses me off is the body language as well. You know, mm-hmm. that's not how a leader carries himself. You know, he's supposed to take, you know, in victories, you know, he praises his teammates, and in defeat, he should be him carrying that loss. And it just doesn't feel like that because, you know, he's got LeBron and all the eyes are on him. So I don't trust him to be the cornerstone of the Lakers moving forward.
Let me go back to what I was saying to at the start of the pod here. We were talking about Wemby. We were talking about, you know, he might not start the game well, and he certainly hasn't shot well in the first half, but he finishes games. He finishes games, you know, trying to win, right? And performing like it. And these are the things that separate stars from superstars, is consistency, is being able to lead your team, being able to lead your team in the fourth, being able to come out with fire and win and want to win and like show that passion. And I don't see that from AD. Sure, he's, you know, a little more like eccentric and whatnot when he's playing well and when he's scoring, but he just has such a tendency to disappear in the third, in the fourth. And you know, there's some times where I'm watching the Lakers and I'm like, where's AD? How come he hasn't been subbed in yet? What are we doing? And then you see him standing in the corner and you're like, what is the game plan here? You should be the best player on the team. That's what you should be. LeBron does not want to be the best player on the team anymore. If you want to be serious about contention, you need to grab the bull by the horns and you need to ride that bitch. Like, you need to show us that you care, that you want to win. I can't believe I'm getting heated about a Lakers player. I
thank you.
Care.
Thank you, Tay. Welcome to the dark side. There's plenty of room.
Is AD a hall of famer for you guys?
Right now, I mean, statistically, yes.
He's got one, you know, like, I don't know. Generational talent, obviously, but just does not have the motor.
Yeah. It's so frustrating, honestly.
Yeah.
Thank you for being my support group, guys. I really appreciate it.
I mean, I just
complain about the Lakers anytime to me. I'll listen.
Absolutely. We're here for you.
Well, folks,
go ahead. Just before we do leave, I know this wasn't on the agenda, but I do, and if you guys have a moment here, I do need to hear your guys' take on the Bucks, Dame and Giannis. Like, what are we? It's only 4 games. They're 2-2. How are we feeling? Just quickly.
Trust the process, in my mind. I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm not concerned. You got two of the best players in the league. You know, the trade happened a little bit closer to the season. You only had, you know, a week or two in training camp to, you know, get these guys together. They didn't play in the preseason hardly at all. When it looks good, it looks really good. The negatives, I have to say, are growing pains. They got to figure it out. There's no chemistry. There's a disruption in the continuity. You know, Dame plays very differently to how Drew Holiday plays on both ends of the floor. So there's things that Giannis needs to do differently on both sides of the floor in order to make up that difference. And he also needs to learn how to trust Dame, right? And we saw it in the first game where Dame was an absolute flamethrower and people were like, wow, this guy's amazing. And you know, as me as a Blazers fan who's watched every single one of this guy's games for over a decade is like, this is just a regular game for this guy. This is what he looks like normally. So, you know, Dame hasn't played well. He had a sub 10 point game, which I've only seen one time in the last like 8 years, but growing pains. I think Rod nailed it. Growing pains. I wouldn't be concerned. You know, this is what the season is for a team like this. They're going to contend. They're going to be at the top of the Eastern Conference. They're going to make it to the conference finals. Well, at least I hope. And, you know, I'm not going to be concerned until we get past the trade deadline. And if they're still performing like this and it's All-Star break and they're a 500 team, then I'm going to be concerned. I'm going to be blowing that horn, but let them figure it out. Those guys are way too good to not figure it out.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right.
Well, as always, make sure that you're following us on Spotify or wherever you listen to your pods. Leave us that 5-star review. It's always nice to wake up to a 5-star review and, you know, make our day. Please make sure that you're following us on Instagram at dropping.dimes. This episode should go out before November 5th. And if I were you, I would follow us on Instagram. Let's just put it that way. We have some surprises next week. Some very, very exciting surprises.
All right. Oh, I want to talk about it so bad, but we can't. It's exciting.
It is exciting.
You should absolutely tune into the Instagram. You should absolutely check out the pod. Stay tuned. I can't wait for this to be announced, but big things, man.
100%. Make sure that you check us on our website, www.dropping-jams.com, whatever I said there. If you want to hit us up, just DM us on Instagram. We always, always, always reply. Or if you want to send us an email, if you want to sponsor us, I'm looking at all of you brands out there. Contact at dropping-jams.com. This is the Dropping Dams crew signing off. Peace, love, basketball. Adios.
Give me one star for each of the Grizzlies losses. Thank you.